Hear that? That's the sound of my just got a payment worth 3 months of payroll face, also known as my pay face. It happens when I can accept credit and debit cards, bank transfer, and mobile pay with Intuit QuickBooks. That's payments made easy. Wait, I thought this ad was over. Oh no, here comes my holding it a squeal in front of a customer face. And my, whoa, getting paid twice as fast face. Thanks for that, QuickBooks.
QuickBooks payments account subject to eligibility. Twice as fast based on customer use comparison from August 2019 to July 2020.
Hey friends, I'm Janet Varney, and I was the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And I'm Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender.
And we're your hosts for Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast celebrating all things Avatarverse.
Whether you're a bender or a non-bender, everybody's welcome, even if you're not from the Fire Nation.
Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will you go penguin sledding with me?
Bear in a Banjo is a podcast production of iHeartRadio and Jingle Punks.
Hi, I'm Jared Goodstadt, the writer, producer, director, and co-creator of Bear in a Banjo. This is a special bonus episode that I'm putting together to share some of the music and a little bit of the story about the genesis of this project. We've been really, really lucky over the last year since we started working on this project to not only be able to make this thing, but also put it out, have people find the stories, people find the music, and really all of the great press that has come out since we started this journey has been more than I ever expected. But many people don't realize that this project really started as a labor of love. When I was working at Jingle Punks, a company that I had founded, I was looking to essentially find new and different ways to make music and have music be discovered. And after this fortuitous meeting with Pooh Bear, who's one of the biggest writers in the entire world, known for writing all of Bieber's songs like Where Are You Now? What Do You Mean? Despacito, and the new song that he just put out with Bieber, which is all over the place, not only 10,000 Hours with Dan and Shay, but also Yummy. He and I quickly got together and essentially started a fake band. It was a rare case of both of us feeling the grass is greener on the other side. And he said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I got to write music for TV and film? And I said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I got my music heard by a lot more people and could become a big, you know, pop songwriter like Pooh Bear? And ultimately, we started making music for Roots, the miniseries, immediately after we had met. So the day after we had met, drunk at a bar, the next day he shows up at my office. Chris Delaney, my executive from History Channel, calls me and says, hey, there's this project, but you're likely not going to get it. I know that you've done all the music for History Channel in the past. I'd, you know, done Pawn Stars, American Pickers, Top Gear. And she's like, do you think you could pull a rabbit out of a hat and find us a really, really big urban pop songwriter? I said, I think I have your person. She came down to the Jingle Punks office and immediately met Pooh Bear, who's an amazing person and really great in the room when it comes to pitching projects. She said, if you guys can turn something around in, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours, I can quickly put it into the conversation, because Questlove was the music supervisor on that project. I reached for the most, I guess the word is lo-fi instrument, or I guess antiquated or antebellum instrument that I could think of, because Roots obviously takes place at a time when American music was not defined yet, and it's this really, really, you know, dark period of history, and I wanted to create something sparse and dark. And I picked up the banjo, and he was like, that's it. I picked out three or four notes, and he's starts singing this beautiful melody, and at which point I said, Krista, I think we're writing a song, so we're going to just get down to it. A few hours later, I realized that I had met my match when it came to not only speed, but also precision and execution of writing songs. And after we finished the song, he said, oh yeah, we're a band. I was like, well, what are we called? He's like, Bear and Banjo. And that really was the beginning of how this whole thing started. But along the way, Baron Banjo as a mini division, I guess, within the world of Jingle Punk started knocking out these huge brand projects, including work with UFC. Him and I wrote a song for Ronda Rousey's final fight with the UFC, and G-Eazy performed it. And then him and I worked with Pro Bull Riding, and all of these songs were pretty much in the same vein. They were dark, anthemic, melodic, and really utilized the two sides of the coin that Pooh Bear and I are known for, him with his amazing words and melodies, and me with how to work within the world of brands. And, you know, guitar is my weapon of choice alongside, you know, drums. And those simple elements almost became this lo-fi, modern, urban mishmash that I couldn't quite put my finger on. But the more we kept on making music for other people, the more I realized that we should be continuing to make music for ourselves. Several months into us landing all of these projects, every time we would have one, we'd record one song for a client and one song for us. One song for a client, one song for us. Next thing I know, I have 6 or 7 songs. I meet T-Bone Burnett and I start playing him some of this music, and he says, "This is great. We should make a whole album." And at which point it validated what I thought in my mind, that Pooh Bear is this amazing voice, but also a true inroad to the past of music and the present and the future. He is all of those things, but he's already told his present music and his future music with all of his amazing pop collaborations with every artist imaginable. But we've never seen what Pooh Bear sounds like when you strip away all of the modern production and, you know, pick up these instruments that are acoustic. You know, for me, it's about the simplicity of the story and how his voice tells the story. So I'm really there as accompaniment. And after we got this project together, I then scratched my head and I said, we have these great songs. It took us several years to assemble not only Pooh Bear's music, but the production that we had done with T-Bone. And for most of the production of the album, T-Bone and Pooh Bear never even really met each other. It was like playing telephone tag. I'd record bits of a song in my Airstream, and then I would take it to Village Recorders where T-Bone would be working, and we would build these tracks up under his production and oversight. And then I'd play the tracks back for Pooh Bear, and I'd say, "Hey, what do you think?" And eventually we all got in a room and realized that there was an amazing project here, but we also were missing one crucial piece, which is the link to all music, in my opinion, the Bob Dylan of it all. And I asked T-Bone whether or not he thought it would be possible for us to get a lost basement tape lyric sheet that Pooh Bear could take and do something amazing with. And I truly thought that the connectivity of the worlds of T-Bone, myself, as, you know, again, jingles are a part of American music history, and there's a huge heritage and through line that goes from the Chachka jingle writers of Tin Pan Alley that take you all the way to people like, you know, Randy Newman and Neil Diamond, and some of the greatest songwriters of our time really do start in that place. And I've always diminished the role of jingles by even having a wacky name like Jingle Jared, but all of these things coming together, and then Bob Dylan on top of all of that, I realized that there was a unique American musical story that we could tell. And I thought of nobody better than Pooh Bear as a melody and top line person to take something significant like Bob Dylan lyrics and turn it into something brand new. And essentially, I'm telling you all this because it's a new model for how bands and how music and how storytellers can converge to do things that haven't been done before in the music business, and a business that's seen it all and done it all and every fad in the world. I had to look backwards to look forward, and a big moment for us believing that this was going to go into something more real than just us making songs was the first time we ever played them live. And this special episode is all about showcasing what that music sounded like at the flash point in the Genesis, at the point where we were performing at Winston House. We didn't know that there was going to be a podcast. We didn't know that there was going to be an album. We just knew that we were having amazing time making this music, and it was our first showcase to the world to get people interested in what we were doing. And I don't even know if we could have ever predicted what would happen months and months later, that it would turn into something much bigger. But we did know that there was a high concept idea here. We did know that we were feeling a little bit of the strain of the politics of America, and we wanted to make an album that reflected race, class, culture, and could look backwards and look forwards at the same time. So this is us doing our first ever performance at the Winston House. And if you've never been to the Winston House, my friend Corey McGuire is founder of it, and it's an amazing secret little place in Venice where anyone may show up on any given night and perform music. In the past, they've had everyone from tiny emerging acts that you've never heard of all the way up to Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber performing there. And it's really cool to see music being brought back in a significant way in LA, especially on the West Side, because it's typically not known for that. And this performance is three songs, Pooh Bear and I performing alongside Gabe Witcher from the Punch Brothers, who has also a really amazing connection to T-Bone. He's worked on some of T-Bone's soundtracks for his biggest projects, including True Detective, and I think he recently worked on Peanut Butter Falcon, which is an award contender for this year. But the interesting thing is that T-Bone set in motion so many things from his ecosystem, from us meeting the Punch Brothers to meeting Dennis Quaid through an introduction from T-Bone, that he is this awesome silent producer connector that made this all happen. And he was supposed to be there that night, but because of some unforeseen circumstances was not there. And without further ado, this is the first ever performance of Bear and a Banjo live from Winston House, performing three songs off the podcast and EP. We hope you dig it.
Kind of hear voices, but not really. Everyone good? Nobody. All right, amazing. Guys, welcome to Winston House. If this is your first time, my name's Corey McGuire. Yeah, I would love to say hello, so come by after the show. Well, tonight is a special night. Got my buddy Jingle Jared, give it up. It's all in the name, it's all in the name, but he is the king of all jingles. I was gonna say the king of all Jareds.
Oh God.
So for those of you that do not know, we do these shows every single Thursday night. We've been doing it for the past 2 years, and the whole idea behind it was that, first off, we thought it'd be cool if there's music on the West Side, because there wasn't any, so we just started doing it ourselves. And then second of all, we were meeting so many talented young artists, and we wanted to create a spot for them to hang out and to share their music. And so, yeah, Ruby's here at the beginning. She was the only one excited about that. So this project tonight is called Bear and a Banjo. It is being debuted here for the first time, right, Jared?
First time in play.
First time. Yeah. So I already introduced Jingle Jared. We have Pooh Bear, who many of you know. We have T-Bone Burnett's produced the record. And they're actually going to be debuting a song they wrote with Bob Dylan. And it's an amazing thing. And so I guess without further ado, we should just get going, right? Pooh Bear, where are you? Right here, let him through.
Give it up for Pooh Bear.
And guys, Gabe Witcher is going to blow your mind over here on the banjo. Give it up for Gabe Witcher. All right, without further ado, Bear and a Banjo.
Hey, you guys, for coming out. This is our first show. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm going to sweat. A little bit.
Me too.
Please sweat with us, Jared. Thanks for coming out. This first song was inspired by my cell phone, because it's just times when I just don't have service, and it bothers me because we're so committed to paying our bills every month. So it's like, why can't they be there for us? Like we're there for them when they need us the most, you know? So, go something like this. We feeling like a cold shoulder. Four years from the border. Looking back at the future. In a hurry, no, we ain't going nowhere. Nowhere. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Ain't got no bars, no way, no damn signal. I said, ain't got no bars, no way, no. Got a sofa. Did you take him on a show? Yeah. In a hurry, no, we ain't going nowhere. Nowhere. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Ain't got no bars, no way, no damn signal. Oh, no, no. Ain't got no bars, no way, no damn signal.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
Hola, I'm Wilmer Valderrama, and I'm so excited to share my new podcast with you. Each week on Essential Voices, I'll be in conversation with an essential worker. Truck drivers, teachers, mental health professionals, grocery store workers, folks who've kept society going during COVID and will keep it going long after. How can we continue supporting these folks and their society-sustaining professions as the nature of the pandemic continues shifting? After we hear their story, our team digs a little deeper through a roundtable discussion between thought leaders. We lay down some facts and learn more about what we as a community can be doing to support our essential voices. Listen to Essential Voices with me, Wilmer Valderrama, as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this song was inspired by our dear president.
Ooh.
Oh,
sorry.
We love him. No, it's all love. We love. It's just a lot of stuff that's been going on. A lot of hatred, and it's unnecessary. It's unfortunate, but you know we're here in a society, and I just felt like you know we should talk about it, and I kind of wanted to make a song with Jared that reflected you know how I feel, and I kind of feel like, hopefully I feel like this feeling is mutual and I share this with you guys, so it's called That's Not America. So many cruel intentions fueled by hate, no sense of value to demonstrate,
Our picture of freedom is fading away. We're turning into the divided states, and that's not America. No, that's not America. That's not America. Oh, that's not America. No way. Your rationality is senseless, embarrassing. Your heart's made of coal by comparison. Your ideal family is faded away. We're turning into the divided states, and that's not America. No, that's not America. That's not America. Oh, that's not America. No way. Where's all the love when you need it? Why can't we all help each other for a change? Where's all the hope when you need it? So quick to point the finger, you're the only one to blame. And that's not America. No, that's not America. That's not America. No sense of value to demonstrate. Our picture of freedom is fading away. We're turning into the divided states, and that's not America. No, that's not America. That's not America. Oh, that's not America.
Thank you very much. This next song is really, really special. I would have never in, I'm going to say a gazillion, because that's just a very long time. I never in a gazillion years would ever thought that we would be able to collab with Bob Dylan, the greatest songwriter of our time. But we had the honor, you know, to work with him, and he sent over, you know, a collaboration, and we hope that we didn't let him down. You know, that's like, it just makes me insecure because I just don't want to let Bob Dylan down. So we hope you love this, Bobby. This song is called Gone But Not Forgotten. I love the fiddle. I love it. That's the guitar this time, right?
Here it comes.
Gone but not forgotten. Crying wouldn't make a stay. She left me early one morning. Just got up and walked away. 19 bird dogs and one old measly hound. Took all 20 of them. Drag my baby down. Two trains running, neither of them going where I have to go. Oh no. One going to Houston, one going to San Antonio. Yeah, she's gone but not forgotten. Crying wouldn't make her stay. Early one morning,
walked away. Ain't no difference in any of the women I meet. Some live on the first floor, some live right up by the street. Except some walk in high heels, others in their stocking feet. Yeah. Looking out the window while it rained for 3 days straight. Sometimes I wonder how long my baby gonna make me wait. Yeah, gone, but not forgotten. No crying wouldn't make her stay. Oh, no, no, no. She left me early one morning. Just got up and walked away. Hear my heart every beat. Don't wanna talk to nobody, no. Ain't got no appetite to eat. She's gone, but not forgotten. Ooh, crying wouldn't make her stay. She left me early one morning. Walked up and walked away. Thank you guys. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ethan Adelman, host of the new podcast Psychoactive. I founded the Drug Policy Alliance, which has been at the forefront of the effort to legalize marijuana and end the broader war on drugs. But what's next? What's the future of drugs? On Psychoactive, I'll be talking with scientists and politicians, celebrities and activists about all things drugs.
Why do we have receptors in our brain that fit molecules made by poppy plants?
You know, I think ecstasy saved my marriage. Drugs are something I recommend to long-term couples.
We had to adopt this idea that there's this disease called alcoholism.
No matter how many drugs this particular person was selling, you shouldn't be able to kick someone's door down and then murder them.
Psychoactive is out now. Listen to Psychoactive on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For decades, this area has been a hotbed for paranormal sightings.
Jeremy!
This is a strange place, this part of the country.
Ann, where are you?
Something about it just doesn't feel right.
Dad?
Strange things were happening back then, and strange things are happening again now.
I think I found something.
This otherworldly corner of southeastern Massachusetts, the Bridgewater Triangle.
iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild presents Bridgewater, starring Misha Collins, Melissa Ponzio, and Nathan Fillion. Created by Aaron Mankey and written by Lauren Shippen. Listen to the first two episodes on August 6th and subscribe to the show for free on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Learn more at grimandmild.com/Bridgewater.
So, the cool thing about Winston House is that it's a place for discovery. And not only did we get to play our music there, but afterwards the crowd stuck around. And Corey, the founder of Winston House, typically does questions and answers with the artists. And this also really set the stage for me even conceptualizing what this project is. And it's not that often that artists get to not only play their music, but explain what it is in a much more comprehensive way. It's almost like MTV Storytellers, but for a band really at the time with no profile. Right. We were just some folks who wanted to perform at his venue, and he made it happen. So this was the...
To hear your music.
I'm very excited, as you can hear behind there. I'm talking about the first show of our tour. Little did I know that we'd be performing at South by Southwest a few months later, opening for Tim McGraw, playing with Aloe Black at Sundance, and getting to have our music heard by a lot more people over the coming months. But this was the conversation that ensued.
Normally we just power through the music, but I got some questions, and when it's quiet, we're going to start. You guys, how'd this project come about?
Well, we met at a bar, at the Nice Guy. And I heard about him, because he's a legend, you know what I mean, what he does. And I was like, man, I want to be like him one day, you know what I'm saying? And I really wanted to get into his field, into the television space and the movies. And we were introduced, you know, randomly, you know, vicariously through Justin Bieber. And he didn't realize.
I was wasted.
He didn't even know it was Justin. And he ended up just saying, like, hey, man, you know how people do the music industry thing where you exchange numbers and you never really call each other? That's like the normal music industry thing. So we actually called each other the next day. And he was like, hey, there's a chance for you to first get on this Roots soundtrack, the Roots miniseries that came out on History Channel. Thank you, Krista. And... that from there, those two songs, one song, you know, that we did, it turned into, it was just like this sound right here that we're doing. And I was like, man, it'd be cool to like pretend and have like a play group, like a play band, you know what I mean? A pretend band where we're not really serious and there's no expectations and nobody's feelings get hurt. So we, you know, we placed the one song in the end credits, and then they were like, believe it or not, they were like, you guys do one more song for Roots. So we ended up doing two songs. And then they got even weirder, because then they flew us to New Orleans to shoot videos. So I turned into
a band.
Yeah, we were officially a band at that point when we were in like doing music videos just out of the blue. And then from there, it's just like, you know, we're like, you know what? Let's just get together, you know, once a week on a Saturday maybe, and spend, you know, 17 minutes out of our lives and have fun and just with no pressure and no expectations make music. That's like this folk Americana sound. And for me, it's like a secret love, just because I've written so many genres of music. So this is like my guilty pleasure of like having an alter ego. You know what I mean? It's like drop the poo and just be bare on a banjo.
And it's like, you know, he's being modest, because it's like 17 minutes out of the week for him is like when he's not writing with Lil Wayne or Justin Bieber, you know, any of the artists he's working with, J Balvin. For us to find free time really is like the craziest thing. So it really was a passion thing. Over the last 2 years, we'd go to my Airstream in front of my house. We didn't even go to a real studio and record in like a tin can. And then really the craziest thing was we needed to track down Steven Tyler for a project we were working on. And I was stalking him on Instagram, and I saw that he was working with T-Bone Burnett. And I remembered I was also drunk and met T-Bone Burnett at one point. So I was like, man, we need to get to Steven Tyler. And he's like,
happens a lot.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, man, come on through the studio. So we went on through, and we sold Steven Tyler a song that ended up being something we were going to do for our record, but it was something that ended up being the theme to Pro Bull Riding. But then...
Another random...
No. And that was a whole other experience, us going to Pro Bowl riding together.
Yeah.
But we met T-Bone, and that really was the glue that made this thing more real, because it was a bunch of demos that we played him off our phone. And he was like, oh, this is the guy who did like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Crazy Heart, you know, two-time Academy Award winner, 19 Grammys, was like, I think you guys should pursue this as a project. And slowly but surely, over the course of 2 years, we finished... It was six songs.
That's what 17 minutes of one out of the week gets you. It breaks down to about 2 years of work for six songs.
That's how you do the work, 17 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
So, actually, by the way, just so everyone knows, obviously T-Bone's name keeps coming up. He's the producer on the record, and he was meant to be here. He had some personal things that came up. He's really sorry he couldn't be. But so obviously you just shared how you guys first met T-Bone. Mm-hmm. You were drunk.
Yep.
Big surprise.
So I met, if I've ever met you before, I've been drunk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think, no, actually, that's not true, man. When we met, you were sober.
Really?
Yeah.
That was probably at the beginning of dinner.
Oh, but the second time we hung out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about the sound of the record. Obviously, working with someone like T-Bone has a big influence on that. But, yeah, where did that start?
I mean, I think it goes back to, no pun, but to the root of us. Just that was like something that we kind of stumbled on, and then we was like, you know what, let's just stay in this world. Let's not try to do anything else, and who cares what anybody thinks? Let's not care about what we think, and let's just make records. And I think the sound just really came from us doing that, those root songs that were Americana, and we're like, let's just stick to this, man, and just let go and lose all our expectations. And then from there, we just kept on. We stayed in there, and we tried to make some happy versions of it, some sad versions of it, some anthems for America, for the people, some cell phone anthems. Like, and just thinking of all these little cool things where, you know, hopefully we have big plans for this album. We want to try to tie it to a lot of great brands and things and kind of open up a door and do something new for a change.
And, you know, for us, like, having the bones of amazing songs, like, you know, a song is good if you can play it at the campfire, three chords, a great melody, and, you know, we're not really in the pressure when we're writing on this to, like, come up with a hit song. We're trying to come up with what's pleasing to us. But then sitting with him, he hates when I talk about him when he's in front of me, but, like, arguably the greatest songwriter of the last 20 years, biggest songwriter currently of all time, and then biggest producer of all time with T-Bone. I feel like just like as a passenger and a fan, I became that in the project, being able to like love the songs, take it over to T-Bone's side where he was the ultimate tastemaker, and listening to him school us on everything from like the Mississippi Delta to bluegrass music and real like tastemaker shit that gets overlooked nowadays in music, where everyone's like, make it sound like Halsey. Wonderful. But that's not the stuff that we're making in our spare time. So, I mean, for us to have something that, like, maybe no one buys the record, fine. But I want to like the songs and listen to them in my spare time. And, you know, when I'm drunk at my cottage up in Canada, blast and be like, cool, we made that.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying, the moral of this story is
make sure you
go out and drink and you'll get to work with Pooh Bear and T-Bone Burnett.
That is the worst story I can tell to young kids trying to make it in the business.
All right, I got to ask, how'd you guys get Bob Dylan involved in this? That's insane.
I'm a pushy motherfucker, and I knew that, you know, T-Bone had been the musical director for Bob Dylan for a bunch of years during the Rolling Thunder Review era, and been almost like charged with taking the catalog and doing new things with it. He had done the Basement Tapes a few years ago with Mumford & Sons, and I said, if we're doing this project, day one, I want to figure out how to get Bob Dylan involved. And T-Bone was like, sure. And we asked enough times where eventually he was like, oh, yeah, he played on some tracks with... So he's part of the whole T-Bone of it all. He plays a lot with Punch Brothers. Were you on the Basement Tapes?
I didn't do that one, but I did.
He's done everything. Like, yeah, amazing stuff. Like, one of the best bluegrass players, like, in all of North America on everything from fiddle to mandolin. But with T-Bone, we asked enough times, and I think the moral of the story there is if you're just persistent and you keep asking, even if you're a little bit embarrassed and you don't want to, you know, look like a fool in front of your heroes, like, just keep going. Eventually he's going to say, yeah, let's think about this, let's consider it. But the day we got the lyric sheet, I was up in Canada and I called Pooh, and they were like, Bob Dylan Googled you guys, and he's in. And I just picture Bob Dylan sitting on a tour bus typing into like an old typewriter attached to the internet. And I don't think, did you believe me at first when I told you that?
Or? Of course not.
Yeah, I tell a lot of stories to get
shit done.
I would
have believed that Bob Dylan sent us lyrics.
And he came to my office, and in like an hour, we just do it like work. It's like at the desk.
An hour to make the people
5 hours. For 30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, 17 minutes.
17.
My theory is the longer it takes to do it, the it's not good. That means it's like you're trying and you're reaching, and something's supposed to just flow and happen naturally. So, but yeah, thank God. Thank you, Bob Dylan. And Thank you, T-Bone. Thank you, Jared.
So thank you.
A million years. Excuse me, a gazillion years. Yeah. Would have thought we would have a record with Bob Dylan.
Thank you guys for listening. That was exciting. It's the first time we've ever played the songs for anyone. So
yeah, and we rehearsed too. We actually rehearsed.
We're a band.
So, yeah, we're a band. We're an actual band.
I got one more kind of humble brag for you and guilty pleasure question. What is it like to have the biggest song on the planet right now, Despacito?
Oh, man. Very extremely awkward because just I would have never
asked questions like this in front of people.
No, it's okay. I love it. But I just would have never thought in a million years. That one that I would have. I mean, I've had some hit records in my 22 years, but just the biggest song of my career and Justin's career just happened to be majority, you know, Latin. So it's just a little strange, a little awkward, but I'm grateful. And it's clearly opened up doors for, you know, it's just crossing over. So now, you know, you see Mahente coming, you see all these other Spanish songs coming, and it's really like amazing to be a part of it. And I can say that my wife knows I wasn't really that excited to go in and write anything. And then that's another secret. Like, when I don't care and I really don't want to do something, it usually turns out to be really massive and big. So I have to figure out ways how to turn off my feelings and not get my feelings hurt and be like, I don't care and really mean it. But that came from me not caring. And it's amazing to be a part of that record. It's amazing to be a part of history. I'm really extremely grateful. And I thank God for Justin, and I thank God for Scooter actually made that play, and thank you, Louis Fonzie and Daddy Yankee, for, you know, even doing the original version.
You guys, give it up, Baron of Banjo.
Thank you.
So yeah, that was Baron of Banjo live from Winston House. He's really built this amazing community on the west side of music, and it was just so cool to debut our music there because, to be honest, as a music creator and an entrepreneur, I live between several worlds. I want to build things. I want to make things that make money, but I also, my heart has always been in the live space, and I believe that the world of podcasting is going to experience this live boom where people want to hear unique stories, unique music in a way that they haven't before, and in a world where everything is available 24/7 on your phone and everyone's experience are becoming more and more homogenized. This was something different. I mean, maybe when we were starting it, I thought this would go over a lot of people's heads, but clearly to the passionate few who have been following our story, our music, the podcast, and for all the folks at iHeart who have supported it and the brands that have been part of it, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for tuning in this season. And I'm so glad that you were able to discover the story. And the album itself is going to be coming out as a bonus package where it's all the 8 songs from the episodes, plus a bonus Zach Brown remix of Can You Hear Me Now, plus New Beginnings, which is a remix of what we had done for Roots, the miniseries, which was one of the first songs Pooh Bear and I ever did, but we have remixed it and put it out for this album, plus the 3 songs you just heard, which are live from Winston House. I'm very proud of the set of material we've created, and I think people will be really excited and surprised to see what comes next as we promote the binge experience of getting people into not only the podcast and re-listening or listening to these episodes for the first time. Who knows? People might listen to the music and discover the podcast or the other way around, but the full binge experience of the podcast is available now on iHeart. The record is coming out shortly thereafter with all the songs I just mentioned. Plus, we are hoping to continue to tell more stories, whether it's in the form of books, audiobooks, a TV series, animation. Baron Banjo for me is this amazing world that I am lucky enough to have created alongside Pooh Bear, Dennis Quaid, T-Bone Burnett, Bob Dylan, and all of the amazing writers who worked on season 1, Bill Flanagan, Tom Piazza, Jimmy Jelinek, and several of the episodes that I wrote alongside Nick Pizzolatto from True Detective. Just wanted to shout out every single person, including all the Jingle Punks who helped produce this thing. And It's been an exciting ride. So thank you for everybody who is part of Bear in a Banjo Season 1. I am Jared Goodstadt, and I am out of here.
Bear in a Banjo was created, executive produced, and directed by Jingle Jerry. Executive produced by Dennis Quaid, T-Bone Burnett, and Jason Pooh Bear Boyd. With original music by Jason Pooh Bear Boyd and Jingle Jared, as Bear in a Banjo and T-Bone Burnett with lyrical contributions from Bob Dylan. All music from Bear in a Banjo is produced by T-Bone Burnett, and all episodes edited by David Gulick. Additional score by Jeff Peters and Jeff Judy. Story editing by Connor Ratliff and associate produced by Emily Bolka. Produced by Tom Piazza, Noel Brown, Brian Walland, Jesse Corwin, and Dan DeMole. Co-produced by Rosanna Arquette. For episode music, please visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever one finds good music. Bear in a Banjo is a production of Jingle Punks in partnership with iHeartRadio. Special thanks to John Ingrazia of Vector Management and Gary Morella of Mono Music. Krista Lenny from Maiden Creative, Gail Truberman, Connell Byrne, and the entire iHeart team. An extra special thanks to Sue Turner for being Bear in a Banjo's head of tour security. For a full list of production credits, behind-the-scenes footage, and source material, please visit BearinBanjo.com. Jingle Punks is an Anthem company.
On the Haunted Road podcast, join Amy Bruni, star of the hit TV show Ghost Hunters, for a guided tour of America's most haunted locations and hear from the expert paranormal investigators who've experienced these places firsthand.
You'll be in the building all alone and you'll hear conversations down the hallways. It'll be more than one person. When you're in that building, it just really feels like something's just standing over your shoulder.
Listen to Haunted Road with Amy Bruni on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You may remember seeing something about the death of Danye Jones on your social media feed around the end of 2018.
Well, a Ferguson, Missouri activist found her son hanging from a tree, and police are ruling it a suicide, but the mother believes it was a lynching.
He was not suicidal.
I'm Ray Novoshelsky. Starting only 6 weeks after Danye was found hanged by a bedsheet, my colleague John Duffy and I spent 2.5 years working with Danye's mother, Melissa, to follow the trail and find out what exactly happened to him.
The lead detective in the case, he was laughing.
From Double Asterisk, Now This, and iHeartRadio comes an unforgettable new investigative podcast series, After the Uprising. All episodes are available now. Listen today on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts.